evening, everyone. This is Gordon, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Chestnut Ridge Radio Club Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Okay, that's good news. All right, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Chestnut Ridge Radio Club Technical Net. This net meets weekly on a frequency of 146.955 megahertz. The 2-meter repeater of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, located in Elkline, New Jersey, uses a PL of 141.3, is at 141.3, and has an offset of 600 kilohertz. This net is a little different than others in that it's really about having a conversation. A conversation about amateur radio, about telecommunications, about computers, about natural sciences that underlie our wonderful hobby. And of course, it's also about what we do with it and things we've done, things we aspire to do, and of course, things we never want to do again. That's always exciting. And so it also is an opportunity to post for sale items, wanted items, and swap items, of course. You can do any of those things. So with no further ado, let's get on with the task at hand. We'll check in with our call signs. Do it by call sign group order. And our name, very important to give your name, indicate whether you have a question, a comment, for sale, swap, wanted, or trade items, or sale, swap, wanted, or none of the above, actually, I should say. Now, why do I say none of the above? Well, it's conversation. You can't have a conversation with somebody who doesn't check in because you don't know they're there. So do offer everyone else the courtesy of indicating your presence. So no further ado, stations whose call signs begin with the letter Whiskey, please call K2BAR.
Good evening, Gordon. This is Jim, WA2UMT in Pearl River, and just listening this evening.
Evening, Jim. Very good. Any other whiskeys?
This is W2JEK, Don with a comment.
This is WA2ISC, Bob, and are you going to be at the Hamfest this weekend? Over.
Bob, would like one call at a time.
This is Whiskey 2, Kilo Bravo Foxtrot, just listening.
W2JEK, Don with a comment.
Don, I already have you in. You're good. All right. So far, I have WA2UMP, W2JEK, WA2ISC, W2KBF. Any other whiskeys, please?
WE2R, Charlie, just listening.
Evening, Charlie. Welcome aboard. Anybody else with a whiskey? Alphas, please. Okay. How about Novembers? Any kilos?
2AMI, Tony with a comment.
Good evening, Tony. I got you with a comment as well. Any other kilos? Any call sign, any format.
This is David, N8MAR.
Good evening, David. What's your intention?
No questions, no comments, just listening.
Received. Thank you very much. Any other stations, any call sign? Alrighty, just be advised, there is an echo link here. The echo link is K2 Foxtrot Juliet Dash Lima. You are required to be a member of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club to use the echo link, but it is available to you as well. FYI, FYI, we also publish some notes on ComTech Group. It's a closed Yahoo group, so you won't get spammed. But it's ComTech Group, Charlie Oscar Mike Tango Echo Charlie Hotel Golf Romeo Oscar Uniform Papa. ComTech Group, Yahoo group. If you would like to join, feel free to locate it and put in a request. If you cannot locate it for any reason, send an email to whiskey2tango@awrl.net. We'll be happy to hook you up. Anyway, so no further ado, W2JEK, it's your ball, K2BAR. Okay, Doc, good evening.
Okay, K2BAR and the net, W2JEK, good evening, everybody. Reminding everybody that not only this Saturday we'll be having the Ham Fest, but Barrow will be running a VE test session at that Ham Fest. This will be at the Westwood Regional High School at 701 Ridgewood Road in the Township of Washington. And we're going to start the VE testing at 8 o'clock. So, and looking forward to good weather. I think the weatherman sounds pretty good from what I've heard the last time I've heard a weather report, so we should be all right with that. If you are coming, remember the test fee is $15. If you are already licensed, please bring your license and a copy of that license. And if you're not licensed, you will need your Social Security number, or if anybody that has an FRN number. If you are already licensed, you will have one FRN number already. If you have a commercial equipment that's licensed, you will probably have an FRN number for that, even though you don't have a ham license. So we will need that FRN number. And you may bring a calculator. The calculator's memory has to be empty. And the other devices, such as iPods, cell phones, etc., may not be used as calculators. Back to net, W2JK.
Very good. Anybody have any comments or questions for Don regarding the upcoming test session and other licensing issues? Don, anything you want to add?
Nothing really on that. I know there are people that are licensed before March 21st, 1987 as technicians can do a paper upgrade to general class because the Morse code went away. The only difference between the tech and the general class at that time was the Morse code speed for the 5 words per minute for text and 13 for generals. Since the code went away, we can paper upgrade a person to from tech to general. Also, people with expired licenses beyond the 2-year grace period can get back into the hobby. They've had a general advanced or extra license. They will have to take and pass the current technician exam. They will get credit. If you were a general, you get a general license. If you were an advanced, you will get a general license also because no more advanced licenses are being issued. The extra will get an extra license. One comment for you, Gordon. I'm wondering if you have a bad mic cable or something. You had, and that you really went down in the mud with that. I don't know what kind of radio you have. That's something to think about. Anyway, back to that. W2JK.
I'm very good. Yeah, I think it's a bad microphone connector on the radio and the mic just not matching up. I got to tweak the pins or such. How's this transmission?
That's fine now.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, this is a good mic. I just think some generations of Alinco radios have slightly different qualities on the connectors that they provide. I think it's mostly on the microphone side, not the microphone jack side, but we'll see. I'll keep an eye on it because that's happened before and it is annoying. So I appreciate getting called out for it. Anything else for Don? Okay, Don, anything else for you?
Nothing at this time, Gordon. Back to net. W2JEK.
Much obliged. Okay, very good. Alrighty. Let's see. Next on our list, I guess, is K2AMI, Tony. K2BAR, your ball.
This is K2AMI, and again, I'm just reflecting and re-echoing Don's statement about the Hamfest, and of course tomorrow is the Bergen Amish Radio Hamfest, tomorrow, Saturday morning is the Bergen Amish Radio Hamfest. In spite of nasty weather predictions of rain, it's not going to happen. We won't let it happen. It'll be a nice day, or at least a nice morning for the Barrow Hamfest. Please come to, if you are interested in looking over some old equipment or some new equipment, KJI will be there. There'll be other vendors and other possibly other dealers. So please consider coming to the Barrow Hamfest. The big plus about the Barrow Hamfest is they have excellent food. We have a breakfast sandwich that will knock your socks off in the morning, and then we follow with hamburgers and hot dogs for a luncheon-type meal, which starts early for lunch. So by all means, plan on some time on Saturday morning to come to the Barrow Hamfest, and that's it.
Okay, good. Anybody have any questions for Don? I mean, for Tony? Okay, Tony, I have one. What time may people roll into the parking lot to sell, and when do we want buyers to show up?
First, Gordon, let me indicate that we sent out 1,700 flyers to 1,700 email addresses that are amateur radio oriented. Two blasts that have gone out, and on those two blasts, there is a flyer that shows all the details about the Barrow Hamfest. But for purposes tonight, let's indicate that we recommend that buyers get there around 7 o'clock. I'm sorry, vendors get there around 7 o'clock. Vendors at 7, and buyers come in at 8. But it's not unusual for guys to come in before that and kind of wander between the vendors as they're setting up. We allow that. So basically, the Hamfest will start gathering around 7, but officially you should be there at 8. The charge is only $5 for admission. Don't try to sneak in the back gate, please. And if you're a vendor, you get two parking spots for $15. And I do wonder if you've checked your email and looked at a Barrow Hamfest notice that came out about 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon.
I'm well aware of the email that came out. I received mine today on my personal email. I did not have a chance to open it up and read it, but I can confirm that it arrived. And it's downstairs, actually, that computer. And the upstairs computer is not, there's several upstairs computers right now, but they're all in, like, test probe mode. They're doing stuff related to my work. So the ham shack is kind of, like, split up. With my personal computer and my work computer downstairs, and some of my radios but no antennas downstairs, and then the rest of my ham shack is upstairs, but the computers are all either work-related or doing something work-related right now, so kind of have to leave it alone, as they say. So I don't spend much time in my office lately. I've been working downstairs because there's just so much RF up here. It's not unhealthy or anything like that, but it is crowded. They're all being monitored by various little computers I've got running around here. Everything from Raspberry Pis to Atoms to high power i5s. So it's kind of an interesting environment right here. So anyway, thanks, Tony. Anybody else have anything for Tony? Okay, anybody, Tony, you have anything you want to add?
Yes, in the event that I am wrong, and we do get some rain, in an extreme case, if we have to postpone the Hamfest, the notice will be on the Barra website. And I, again, indicate, I don't think that's going to happen, but if it had to happen, our back door is open for a relocation, a rescheduling of another day.
Yeah, just FYI, the weather forecast shows that we're looking at rain toward Saturday evening, so I don't think we really have anything to worry about. good, and God bless. That's super. Alrighty. Thank you, Tony. WA2ISC, your question, Bob. K2BAR.
Gordon, I was just asking if you're going to be at the Hamfest. Over.
That is the plan, sir. Don't know if I'm going to bring anything. I might. I'm trying to keep my personal overhead down to a dull roar. I've had some really busy weeks. I might throw a small table in and do some small mesh stuff. Why? What do you have in mind?
Really nothing. I was just going to go look around, see what might be interesting to pick up. But I was just wondering, if you're going to be there, that's all.
Well, I should have a note on 2.4, a note on 900, and I think we moved it to 917, so that'll be on 917. I'll be on channel minus 2 on 2.4. I also have, I don't know, to set up a 3 gig node. We'll see about that. That's actually the something else. I borrowed them from Randy for the marathon. We're going to be working on that tomorrow night and going from there, so we'll see. Anyway, good question. Anything else, Bob?
I noticed that you were a brief neighbor on my 2.4 gig node. I guess you drove past on Ordell Avenue a couple of days ago. Anyway, W2TTT, this is WA2IC.
Yep. Actually, I haven't checked to see how long the car node's been up, but it's been up for a number of days. My node in the car actually never turns off because I have an extra battery for it. Chugs along pretty nicely, actually. If I was not going to use the car for, let's say, a week, I would probably disconnect it, but it's kind of nifty. Anyway, I do have a note in the car, which is pretty darn cool, actually. Alrighty, anything else?
No, Gordon, I think that's K2BAR, this is WA2IC.
W2JC, no traffic car.
W2JC, noted, you're in here. Alrighty, good evening, Jim. Alrighty, well, we don't have a specific topic for tonight, so I figured I'd describe a couple of things that I noted. There's a, on Ham Universe, there's a really nice JPOL calculator, and I actually used it today to build a 222 JPOL that was set up for using half-inch copper pipe. And I tell you, it was spot on. I mean, the SWR is about, 1.5 to 1, and at various parts below the band, it was actually lower. It was pretty darn wonderful, so... Drop out?
You did.
Bad Gordon.
No traffic.
Okay, I got W2JC and W2SE. So I got you both. Sorry about that. I think what happened, Jim, is when you came in, I probably keyed up too fast. So I was talking about the Ham Universe J-Pole calculator for a... I made the J-poles out of half-inch copper tubing, and it came up and tuned flawlessly the first time. I do have one recommendation, though. Instead of using pipe caps and going through the expense of that, I would recommend simply putting silicone RTV at the top of the pipes and calling it square at that. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
Question, Gordon.
Go ahead, Bruce.
W8 to UNP. Have never heard you on 220. Does this mean we will start to hear you on 220? Go ahead.
Jim, I'm on 220, you know, a couple of times a week, and next to this radio is a 220 radio. It's almost always dialed up for 36, 224-36, just for your reference.
223-46. Okay, I'm usually in simplex on 223.5. So .46 is another simplex for you to check out.
224-36. 224-36. The Clifton repeater uses a 141.3 PL.
Use that one in a while.
Yeah, I usually just leave it there, but yeah. So, going back to the evil days of my younger times, I had first a pair of 19-element F9 FT jockeys on 220 megahertz. I did say 220. And then later on I had a 4-bay on 220 and 222. Then I got back to a 2-bay again because I wanted to use those antennas, two of the antennas for portable use. And now I don't have any of those up because they all kind of fell apart over the years. But I do have a short 7-element Yagi, a directive systems Yagi for 222, which I use for single sideband. Right now that station's not up, but I have a Downing microwave transverter for 222 megahertz, and it's awesome. So, Jim, you're the one who brought up 222, so... as far as operating it. Do you operate simplex? Tell us about your simplex operation on 220.3.5.
Yeah, okay, Gordon. 220 is an interesting band. I have a modest station with a modest setup. I have a little diamond tri-band antenna actually in my attic, and I managed to work 20, 30 miles with it at times. Just spoke with someone yesterday in Pleasantville. It's, do manage to work the folks in the area and work some of the repeaters, N2AFC, the Rockland County repeater, and a couple of others. So I have fun with it and do manage to make some contacts. It's one of four radios that I usually leave on. I'll have a DMR in the background on for him. And sometimes I leave 220 on the simplex and work what I can.
Wonderful. Anybody else have any experience on 222?
Well, comment?
Comment, go.
You asked about closing up the top of the copper pipe with RTV, and I was going to suggest to take a piece of waste copper pipe, sharpen the ends a little bit with a grinding wheel, and use that as a cutout, and cut out a little piece of that harder white closed cell foam that they use for packing around electronic equipment, and use that to plug up the pipe, and then put a very thin layer of RTV on top of that, and it should work quite well.
Cell foam would be an excellent choice. That's a good idea, Bruce. I like that.
Foam to block off the pipe so you don't waste as much RTV. So you have a little plug, if you will, or a little donut thing, and then maybe an eighth of an inch of RTV on top of that, and you're done.
No, sure. That would just work just fine. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'm just kind of curious, what people do, and if they've had, you know, anybody have much experience on 222 or 223, as far as either FM activity, repeater, simplex, or even weak signal work. Anybody have some experience other than Jim?
It's K2AMI with experience.
Yeah, there you go. Why don't you talk about your experience, Tony?
I I basically use 222 with the weak signal work. However, I don't run weak signal. I run 350 watts on 222 with an old military AM6154 converted to 220 megahertz. And I have to boast that in the, again, they're late issuing rewards, but in the 2015 UHF contest, which occurs in August every year, I placed first place in the VHF UHF contest, and first place in 220 megahertz division, in the Hudson division. So I thought that was pretty good. But I use 222 every VHF contest and every UHF contest that I'm around.
Okay. Very good. Really good. That amplifier is really good. I mean, those came out of service from, if I remember right, the FAA, and they were meant to run, I think, 75 or 50 watts of AM. Naturally, by scaling it for single sideband or CW and improving the cooling, it's truly amazing as to how well you can, get those amps to sing and ring.
Very happy with it. I have one on 432 as well as on 222. The 432 one at the moment is down, but it can be resurrected with some work.
Yeah, well, we've seen those on what, 2 meters and 220 at 432.
Be used on 2 meters, 220 or 432. There's a slightly different variation. There's an AM6144 and an AM6145. And the 45 is the higher frequency version. And that's the best one to use on 432 and on 220, I think. I've forgotten now. But the AM6154 works best on 2 meters and can be. You can get several hundred watts on all those bands with minor modifications.
Yep, very, very good. So that's a good thing to keep in mind. They're very robust, and they have a self-contained power supply, if I recall.
70 or 80 pounds, but can be manageable. But on weak signal work, on 222.1.222.2, I've worked signals as far north as New Hampshire and Maine, and down into the Delaware and Maryland area on 222 it's about a 7 or 8 element beam at about 25 feet off the ground.
Absolutely, and that's truly amazing. I know I've operated those bands with amplifiers, and I've operated them with only 10 watts. Let me tell you, operating with only 10 watts, I worked all the same places, but I can honestly tell you, you work a lot harder. So it's a beautiful thing when you have that kind of amplification kicking around. That's a beautiful thing when you can bring it to bear. It really is. Alrighty. Anything else that anybody wants to add to the 220 topic?
A quick question for Tony. This is WA2UMP.
Go ahead, Jim.
Tony, I heard the word AM and was a bit perplexed by that. This is an FM, has an FM detector. Was AM just the name, part of the name of the radio? Because I imagine if you're operating AM, that would be hard to communicate in both directions with the FM transceivers that are on. Go ahead.
Of the amplifier. Again, the amplifier is capable of amplifying FM or AM, but I use it on sideband. But it's if you look up Google and search AM6154 or AM6155, there is information about the amplifier that you can locate off of Google.
Ah, I see. That's just the amplifier. Okay, I'll take a look. It sounds interesting.
Yeah, just be advised, Jim. It's Alpha November.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, they were used by the FAA, and they were used on AM, but the nomenclature is Alpha November 6155, 6144, I don't know what the other one is, but anyway. Bottom line is there's all sorts of devices in that family. You can find them online. Find them on, I think if you go up on EHAM, you can even find reviews of them, oddly enough, even though they're not, you know, commercial ham gear. But they're marvelous. They really are. Anyway, anybody else? I am watching for the umpteenth time, just the audio, without the audio up, Ham Nation number 260. It's a, you know, a video program that's weekly that Bob Heil, K9 EID, and others put together. And Ham Nation number 260 has a absolutely lovely segment on the K3LR multi-op station, which is that lovely multi-op station in western Pennsylvania, right by the Ohio line, astride Route 80. And this video is absolutely wonderful because they did it with a drone, and they did it both in broad daylight and also at twilight. But boy, that's just truly amazing how nice that came out. You might want to catch that Ham Nation number 260. And I don't know what point in the video it was. Let's see. It was about, I'm going to say, maybe about 27 minutes in. They were talking about it. And there's other things too. But I'm basically streaming YouTube videos just to provide data traffic for some of my experiments that I mentioned for work. YouTube's Ham Nation is as good as any. Anyway, anybody else have any topics for the next night? Just call K2B Air.
J3, come in.
Yes, sir. I have one after you.
I had the good fortune on the way home from Dayton to actually physically stop at K3LR and get a tour of the place from the proprietor. Did they show the inside, the multi-op stations? It's really quite a setup, sir.
I don't know on this video if they did or not, but I have a standing invitation to certainly operate phone if I want and get a tour. And K3LR and I used to work for the same company. He was the chief technology officer for Dobson, which was a smaller cellular company that AT&T bought number of years ago. So for a few years he was an AT&T employee, and then decided that he wanted to go do other things. He took his his contractual obligation to stay put and play with them for a while, and he decided to go do something else. And it was very, very cool to be able to exchange information through work channels, as it were, at that time. But I'm glad you got the tour. I have never gotten the inside tour because I've never had the chance to stop. But I would strongly recommend that anybody
agent who happens to be in the neighborhood stop by that, or DX Engineering, you know, call DX Engineering in advance and make an appointment to see him, and you'll have a grand time. Anything you want to add, Jim?
Well, I'll reassert your suggestion to call ahead of time because he's not always in town. But the DX Engineering people will know where he is. All right.
Well, yeah. You know, you'll find all sorts of really interesting things there. I mean, there's some engineering there that's pretty amazing to make it possible to run, you know, multi-multi, you know, and have all those transmitters going at one time, making sure you only have one transmitting on a given band, even if you have multiple operating positions operating in one band. You might have a run station and a search and pounce station. They will be using different antennas. They will be looking in different directions as a function of time of day and band and the contest itself. So filtering is really an amazing thing, and keeping out of each other's hair is even more exciting. All righty. Anything else? If anybody wants to talk about other multi-ops, it's fine. We can do that too.
W2KC, do you know that some of the top DX, not DXers, but contesters now are running one receiver in the left ear and another receiver on a different frequency in the right ear and switching back and forth in order to not waste any time making contact, sir?
Did you know that I did that 25 years ago or more during VHF contests? Happily and cheerfully.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Absolutely. And there's two modes of operation for that. One is to keep things rolling when it's busy. You're always paranoid that 6 meters is going to open up while you're doing something else. Or 2 meters. Might have somebody make an appearance for a brief period of time while you're doing something else. That's typical. But the other side of that is that you might find that during the wee hours that things get really, really quiet. So what you do is you run multiple radios at one time, feed the audio in from multiple sources into your head, try not to get a headache. And you can pretty much tell which radio is which, but normally I'd run two, sometimes three, and upon occasion I would run four radios at once and keep chugging along. I'd wear light earphones underneath over-the-ear earphones, be able to listen to four audio sources at once, and had the push-to-talks all set up. It does require a level of automation, a lot of making things absolutely identical. I get very frustrated when, let's say, the 2-meter station is set up differently than the 432 station. I want it to be absolutely the same human factors. It becomes too inefficient to switch otherwise.
Who am I with some information?
Tony.
A few years ago, there was a movie out called Frequency, and it was a story about a kid going to his dad's abandoned radio and turning it on and hearing a voice come out of it, and he recognized it to be his dad. And his dad was a victim of a firefighter's accident. He was a fireman. Well, starting last week on Wednesday night, there's a Frequency is back. They rewrote the series. And again, it's the same pattern. There is a detective in the police force who turned on a radio and heard her father's voice, and she's communicating with her father, who's been deceased, and he was shot in a I guess you'd call it a compact between some police officers who didn't want him to reveal something. I don't know the full story, but it's sort of science fiction, but it does use ham radio, and they even use a call sign, and I don't know the call sign offhand, but it's Wednesday night around 9 o'clock. If you have a chance to be amused, you might want to take a look at that.
Be good, Tony. Did it start last Wednesday or yesterday, or is it starting next Wednesday?
Yesterday, and it will be on, there's a rerun on, it's on Channel 11, I think. I'm not too sure about that, but I think it's Channel 11. But there's a rerun Friday night of the Wednesday night show, and then it'll be on every Wednesday at 9 o'clock until it's sort of a pilot series. I don't know if it's going to continue, but I understand it's been written by a director who's a ham radio operator.
Interesting. All right. We will definitely keep that in mind. Very good. I'm just kind of curious... If people realize this is kind of a form of a segue, but people realize that some of the best emergency ops, traffic handler types, under pressure, are really contesters, not DXers, not traffic handlers themselves. I mean, traffic handlers can do the forms and do that do it with very, very great dexterity, but what you'll find is that there's a number of operators who are contesters, and they make very, very solid, shall we say, radio ops when they're when we have situations like the upcoming storm. I don't think we're going to get much in the way of high winds and rain and stuff. That we could be wrong. And I'll tell you why. The Gulf Stream is like 85 to 90 degrees. And after it bounces off of South Carolina and North Carolina, the storm's going to want to go somewhere and it's going to sit out in the Gulf Stream. And even if it doesn't come ashore per se, it's going to get larger, I think. After going down to Category 1, it's going to pick up a lot of moisture out of that warm Gulf Stream. So as Bob WB2AIU would say, time to charge your batteries, time to check things, make sure everything's right, and get yourself in order. Anybody have any comments for that?
Lives in Florida now.
Yeah, and in a condo, if I recall. So, you know, he's got to kind of watch things. Mercifully, Noel is up north here right now, convalescing. By the way, he has a set of Bluetooth headphones that are pretty awesome. They include an embedded microphone that's awesome. And I bought a pair while I was visiting him. He was so proud of his headset that I took the opportunity to try them out at his suggestion, liked them so much, and I ordered them right there on the spot. So my next goal is to try to work it with the Flex. I'll probably have to use a manual PTT, but Bluetooth headset with a manual PTT is going to be pretty darn nice with the Flex over. But I'm hoping that people get themselves the batteries charged, get their own personal gear together, get their meds together, because you never know. Never know. And, well worth it. Any other topics for the night tonight? KTV Air. Alrighty, well, I'm going to thank everybody for attending the net tonight. It's been fun. And I appreciate the check-ins and the nice conversation. And look forward to seeing many of you on Saturday, if not tomorrow night, at the Fairlawn business meeting. Remember, tomorrow night's business meeting at 7:30, but the doors open at 6. N8MAR is opening up, so we should be in good shape. Plenty of time to do technical questions and work on things before the business meeting. And there might even be a little time after, too. You never know. So, 73, everybody. This is K2BAR, W2TTT, returning to repeater, normal amateur radio use.